Hello, this is Frankly Speaking, an informational exchange of problems and issues of relevance to people everywhere. Today's program addresses the subject of male-female relationships. I'm Stephanie Hopkins for George Mason University. But before I introduce my entire panel, I'd like for you to meet Dr. Richard Peritsky, a counseling psychologist and director of training in the Counseling Center at George Mason University.
I think men and women approach personal relationships from different stances. And I think we need to be careful when we look at relationships that we note how men approach relationships and how females approach relationships.
To join us and elaborate on the subject, my other guest is Cindy Smith, an adult development specialist who works with midlife career change groups in career services at GMU. Welcome to the program. Before the show, we were talking about male-female relationships, and part of the discussion evolved around describing the typical male or female path.
Well, Stephanie, in years past, we had the typical female wanting to perhaps get a college degree but not take herself seriously professionally until perhaps later in mid-adulthood when children were raised and nesting was over and it was time to consider what to do next with her life. Males, on the other hand, would always be thinking and be geared to think about themselves professionally, what they were going to do, how they were going to support their family, and now we're seeing a change. We're seeing young women begin to wonder, what will I do with myself, with my degree? How will I develop myself professionally? Will I have children? Will I delay children? Will I even have a career, children same time? There's been a big change in the last 10 years in what we see in young people, what paths they take. Even men are thinking, how can I be a better parent? They're gearing themselves to think of their nurturing sides as well as their career sides.
So in other words, females who put absolutely no priority mm-hmm. on their life first and considered their spouse's
mm-hmm. living for others.
Sure. Yeah. Children, husband, yeah. mm-hmm. family.
If I might add to that, the personal side of relationships has changed in the past 10, 15 years as well, whereas men were primarily geared for a profession and a career, and relationships took a secondary or a not as important sort of role, contrasting that with women, where relationships seem to be of primary importance. With the changing society and the stresses of a modern society, women are more concerned about professions and their own personal security and a meaningful professional career. Men are also more concerned about relationships and having meaningful relationships with women and with their kids.
There was a time when a male would not be caught hugging or kissing their children, possibly playing with them in the park, spending time, mm-hmm. because that was considered effeminate or it was considered not to be the thing to do in being a strong man. Now I notice that's changing. What's caused the change?
Oh, I think it's greater permission by society. As you say, we used to frown on men that would do things like that. Thank goodness men don't have to be as macho as they used to be, and women don't have to be as supportive, as dependent as they used to be. I think there's a freeing up now of what we're allowed to be. We're allowed to be who we can be, so much more than we used to.
The permissiveness that some people have berated or have argued against has created or encouraged people to try out new alternatives and expand on the rigid roles in which they had been placed.
In many instances, I've noticed news clips that have been done on males who prefer to stay at home, who prefer to take care of the children and do the cooking and the cleaning. What do psychologists say about this?
Oh, I think it's super. I have a friend who does that. His greatest ambition is for his wife to be very successful because he enjoys a lot of the stay-at-home activities and a lot of the activities which in the past have been called female or woman's work.
That was not considered normal years ago, and I'm not sure if our society is still ready to accept the absolute change in roles, yet there are few individuals doing it. How do you make the transition?
Well, society changes very slowly, and I think it would be somewhat unrealistic to expect society to automatically or to change very rapidly with some of the changes that individuals are exploring and trying. I think the same is true for women who are exploring professions and who are moving into the executive realm of occupations, and they're experiencing and society is reacting to them in some of the same ways that you've noted that society is reacting to these house husbands.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that Rich is a psychologist. He kind of gives his approval of alternative lifestyles, but I think typically psychologists have been just as sex-typed as the rest of us, and I don't think it's generally accepted as being okay or being normal to make either choice. For some of the research I've seen is that we helpers of persons are just as, as biased in our views as are the others, general public.
So in other words, there is no exact combination or answer. It's basically what's best for you as an individual and how you relate to the person that you have to interact with the most. How do you think children perceive daddy staying home and mother going to work? Or even the possibility of mother and dad both working, where the old original concept was mother had to stay home with the children?
I think that's a complicated question to try and answer in simple sorts of terms. The relationship that develops in the home between the children and the parents is very much says something about how they're going to perceive the roles that their mother or father assume. And so to come up with a simple answer that this is good, that the mother stay home, for instance, is the better situation, or that something along that line, I'm not so sure would really answer the question of what's best for the kids. I think that is wrapped up in the relationship that's developed at home.
So really it might depend on how much the children get from their parents, and I don't mean financially. I mean how much love, how much emotion is in their relationship, how much they are shown that they're wanted and cared for. The quality of the time versus the quantity of the time.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely, the quality and how happy the individuals are and how willing they are to share what's going on for them and why this is valuable, what they're doing and what it adds to their lives. And I think that contribution is a good model for the kids to be exploring what it is that gives them meaning.
Is there really a generation gap? Can you say that at 50, and I'm a male, I'm too old to have young children because the gap would be too great? We just don't think in the same terms.
Oh, no, I don't think. In that respect, there is not a generation gap. I think that we can expect so much more development now and change in adults than we did in years past. Now it's okay for adults to grow, to take on new ideas, new self-concepts, to accept parts of themselves that they just didn't used to be able to do. I wanted to get back to one thing Rich was saying on, I guess we were kind of alluding to a two-career family where mothers and fathers were working. One of the things that I've experienced in the work I've done, especially with women in professional women, is that typically we're looking at superwomen, women who are not only taking themselves very seriously with careers and developing, growing, advancing in their careers, but they're doing everything at home that they always used to do and putting loads on themselves that are just unbelievable. So I'm not sure that we are really working right now in this particular time period with liberated individuals, or at least liberated women. The feeling is, okay, if I can do everything that's expected of me at home, plus everything is expected of me at work, then I'm okay. And we're working with some exhausted women these days.
I know.
Yes, you know.
To take it one step further, it seems that many of the women whom I speak with say they have to do all these things and to do them extremely well.
Mm-hmm. It's a sense of self-fulfillment in a way.
And it's maintaining self-esteem, too, and sometimes at the risk of kind of keeping a lot of different balls in the air. So.
And I guess it pays the mortgage even better when you've got two incomes coming in. How do we actually identify who we are and what we want to be? I mean, is there a process whereby you research it, you self-assess where you are now and look back on where you were then and where you'd like to be in the future? How do you make that decision, what is right for you? Like, I do want a career, I don't want children, which is also becoming a thing today for women who are making the decision that they don't need a child to be a full woman, or even the male has determined that he does not want children to interrupt his relationship with his wife. And all of those types of decisions are being made now that weren't made before. Children were a natural entity in any male-female relationship. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know I've said a lot there, and possibly you can.
One of the thoughts that came to mind was that I think as adults, our mission in life is to kind of separate who we're supposed to be from who we really are. In other words, we're to outgrow what mommy and daddy told us was okay for us to be or how we were to be, and then decide for ourselves who we really, really are. Now, that's a difficult thing to get hold of. You can talk about decision making and proper decision making and awarenesses, but I think it's a very gradual thing too. And throughout the adult years, we continually reassess and take stock of who we are. And there are theorists who say it takes us up until age 50 to decide, okay, this is who I really am. This is what I was put here to express. I think maybe if we did that all at once at age 21, it would be too overwhelming for us to handle. But that is adulthood, stock-taking, changing, growing, developing into a new being.
Mm-hmm. One thing we haven't really touched upon as detailed as I'd like for us to, what about that relationship on the job? Having to deal with your superior, the male-female situation of possibly the boss being the woman and the male being the reporting employee, or vice versa, with the macho male being the supervisor. Mm-hmm. Any comments?
I have one, and it goes back when we started talking about generation gap, and I think rather than talk about generation gap, I prefer to talk about the gaps that are there between people who are different in some way from us, between males and females, between parents and kids, between blacks and whites. There's differences that are built in, and so we see them as gaps in communication, and that makes it somewhat more difficult to understand and appreciate and understand the values that may be different. And so I think that comes to bear in regards to your question, where there's gender difference between the supervisor and the supervisee.
This has been quite an interesting subject, and unfortunately our time is up. Maybe we'll possibly do a part two in the future. You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public affairs program produced by George Mason University, Pat Ping Production Coordinator. For information about our guest or this program, please call area code 703-323-2139. I'm Stephanie Hopkins for the State University in Northern Virginia. Thank you for listening.